You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. This episode is being dropped on the 18th day of October 2019 is brought to you in part by Vivid Seats, where we are going to be talking about Game 4 of the ALCS, previewing Game 5, and a few announcer thoughts on my part. Hey, you can get our podcast on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Podbean, all those places where you get your podcasts. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On MLB. Check us out on Twitter and in Instagram on Locked On MLB. And I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Well, look it. The Yankees put themselves in this position. They lost an extra inning game in Game 2. They constantly put runners on base against Gerrit Cole in Game 3. They had Zach Greinke on the ropes in Game 4 with Masahiro Tanaka on the mound. If there was ever a game that looked like it was going to be, do you know what? The Yankees got it today. It's going to be 2-2. It was Game 4 of the American League Championship Series. Tanaka's been all but unhittable. And Zach Greinke, who has incredible control, he never walks anybody, no matter where he pitched, whether it was Kansas City, Milwaukee, the hour and a half he pitched for the Angels, with the Dodgers, with Arizona, and with Houston. His control has always been pinpoint. In fact, that's a lot of times been the problem with him, is he throws too many strikes, which is why he lets up a lot of homers. He's kind of like David Wells in that way. But Greinke just walked everybody in the first inning. Bases loaded, he walked in a run. And he looked wobbly. And all it took was one hit with the bases loaded in that first inning, and the Yankees would have taken complete control of that game, but it didn't happen. In fact, I don't think they got a hit with a batter and running a runner in scoring position all game. But because of that, and it was not a good start by Greinke, he didn't even get out of the fifth. But because they couldn't take advantage of that, it allowed the Astros to stay alive. And Tanaka looked very good right up front, but two runners on, he throws a pumpkin to George Springer, who hits a three-run home run. Boom. The minute that ball went into the bleachers, I thought to myself, the Astros are going to do it because the Yankees let this one get away. Now, throwing another three-run homer by Carlos Correa, and then some absolutely sloppy baseball all over the map. Four errors plus wild pitches. One of those wild pitches should have been called a pass ball, by the way. The Yankees, after the second home run, now granted, they wound up getting a home run by Gary Sanchez, and it looked like, oh, are they making it? Are they making it? Nope, they couldn't close the deal. And because of that, the Astros tacked on, and they now have a 3-1 lead. So here's all you have to do, Yankees. You have to beat Verlander and Cole, as well as a third game, which would probably be a bullpen game. Now, you have to do all that, and you can't afford to lose one game. Good luck with that. Good luck with that strategy. It's probably going to turn out great for you. Look, I'm obviously not a Yankee fan. I'm a native New Englander. I hate the Yankees. There was a part of me that kind of wanted to see this go 6 or 7 games because I think these are two evenly matched teams. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you can't give the Astros extra outs. You can't let the Astros get off the mat. You can't face Gerrit Cole when he's not at his best and not take advantage of it. You can't have Zach Greinke look wobbly. He was a weeble. He wobbled, but he did not fall down. And you can't make sloppy plays. You can't look like you're dead from the neck up, which is how they looked after the Gary Sanchez home run, which I thought, oh, are they making a run at it? Nope. And here we are, 3-1. Now, I wrote this on Twitter, and I'm going to say this right here. Part of me thinks Houston should throw Urquidy. I think they should throw Urquidy in Game 5 for these reasons. I'm not 100% sure if Verlander's on full rest right now, but they're up 3-1, and they're going to be facing Paxton. Again, Paxton's not a bad pitcher at all, but you just get the sense that there is going to be so little margin of error that if he burps on the mound, they're going to yank him, and they're going to put in someone else. Probably not Ottavino, who's been dreadful. But there could be a sense of panic at Yankee Stadium. Now, let's just say you start Urquidy, and Urquidy loses. Then you have a rest-and-ready Justin Verlander going Game 6. And then you would have Gerrit Cole going Game 7, if needed, which I don't think it's getting that far. Now, let's say Urquidy wins on Game 5 later today. Then you have Verlander and Cole ready to go 1-2 in the World Series. I'm not saying you sacrifice a game or you give the Yankees breathing room. But I am saying we saw what happened when you pitched Verlander on short rest when he got the snot kicked out of him by the Tampa Bay Rays. When you have a 3-1 lead, and your worst-case scenario is you have a Game 6 at home with a rest-and-ready Justin Verlander on the mound, I take that chance. Call me crazy. Now, there is another argument, and it is the argument that Jack McKeon used in 2003 when he started Josh Beckett, despite everyone and their moose saying you can't throw him in short rest, which was, I got to stomp on the jugular right now. You put Verlander out there, and you know you could smack Paxton around. And let's say Verlander wins, all of a sudden you'll still have Cole rested and ready to start Game 1 of the World Series, and you don't let the Yankees get off the mat. That's the other answer, is that this is a chance to go for the jugular and win all 3 games at Yankee Stadium. What a turn of events this is, by the way. When you look at how Tanaka won Game 1 of the playoffs, of the ALCS, sorry, and made the Astros just look like a bunch of chumps, and the whole idea of what made that so huge was that they took home field advantage away from the Astros. Well, how'd that work out? So I would personally start Urquidy because I think it allows you to have everyone on full rest. And if you win, then it's a best-case scenario go to the World Series. And even if you don't win, you're in a best-case scenario for Games 6 and 7. But then again, I'm not A.J. Hinch. I'm not on the verge of getting my team to the World Series for the second time in 3 years. And if this happens, then that would mean the Yankees have gone an entire decade, 2010 to 2019, without playing in the World Series. I want to make one little note, which is, it looks like CC Sabathia hurt himself and he had to be removed from the game. And I felt badly. I mean, as I said, obviously I'm not a Yankee fan, but I've always admired CC Sabathia when he was with Cleveland, when he was with Milwaukee, when he was with the Yankees, even when he was with the Yankees. I had nothing but respect for him. He seems like I've never met the guy, so I always feel odd saying he seems like a good guy, but he's certainly been a good representative of baseball and, by all accounts, a class act. And if that's how his career ends, it's sad to see a great career end with someone walking off the field in an injury. But in case it was, he is worth a tremendous salute. Great career. We'll have an interesting Hall of Fame debate. I think he probably would get in. And has been, I'll say it, one of the greatest free agent signings in Yankee history. They don't win the World Series in 2009 without him. And without 2009, we're talking the Yankees waiting since 2000 for a World Series title, which is interesting. So salute to you, CC Sabathia. And Yankee fans, let's behave ourselves. Let's be good fans. Be good fans at Yankee Stadium. And go get tickets for the game, because this might be your last chance to see him until 2020. And if you want to get tickets, here's how you should do it. Use Vivid Seats. What is Vivid Seats? It's an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with an experience that lasts a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, giving credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as the in-app loyalty program Vivid Seats Rewards, with reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Famer. Customers can earn up to 10% or 16% credit on all their purchases through the app in the month of October. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, and you are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program, and you'll enjoy credits on all purchases part of the Vivid Seats Rewards. And all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. Enter the promo code POSTSEASON at checkout and receive a discount up to $100. Now, I want to transition right now. I'm going to transition to sex. But because this is a baseball podcast, I will speak in code. Guys, were you a pitcher who used to go deep into games, didn't need any relief, no pitch counts? You went nine. Do you find yourself now tiring out? Are you now a one-out situational reliever? Do you need something to increase your stamina, to get a few more complete games and have confidence that your partner won't be looking in the bullpen to bring in someone else? Then try Blue Chew. Blue is in the color blue. It is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved ingredient as Viagra or Cialis, so you know it's legit. Take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach, taking the train ride back from Yankee Stadium. I don't judge. I'm not Aaron Judge. I don't know if Aaron Judge uses Blue Chew, but he should. They work twice as fast as the pill, so you won't need to warm up long in the bullpen to get in the game. Now look it, we baseball fans love performance-enhancing drugs, and this one works. And guess what? You can even use it in Cooperstown. They won't test you. It's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. No in-person doctor visit, no awkwardness. They are made in the USA, and since they prepare and ship direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, faster, and cheaper choice. And thank you for sponsoring the Locked On MLB podcast. So we had a game on Thursday. Now we have a game on Friday. And at some point in the next few days, we will know who the American League champion is. I want to address something here. And I got a text from someone who I've known for years and years, a dear, very close friend of mine, Nicole Korkolas, who is a very big Yankee fan. In fact, we went to a couple of Yankee games together back in the late 90s, back when the Yankees actually won World Series. She is someone very dear to me. She was at my wedding. She's a great friend. And she is also a wonderful stand-up comic. We met through the comedy world. She's very funny, and she's great. So, Nicole, you know I love you. So she wrote to me, and she said, "You know pretty much everything about baseball. I know a bunch. Tell me, why do television commentators feel the need to talk nonstop with so much white noise and fill every bleeping second with their bleeping thoughts and not allow us to enjoy the sounds of the game at all. It's TV, not radio. We don't need every movement discussed. Now, let me tell you something. She's right. She's 100% right. And I believe that there's a certain amount of residue from people who are radio broadcasters going into television who feel the need to fill every damn moment with sound and commentary. And I wish they didn't. Now, I think there should be an option. There should be an option when you watch any baseball event. We have the technology to do this, that if you want to watch the game with your local announcers, click. With the national announcers, click. If you are in a different language, click. And or with just the sound of the ball game, click. You should be able to have all those options. Those are all available. We could do that. You know, and you'd still be, your ratings will be fine. You were just switching the soundtrack over and everything. You could still put all your commercials. You can still sell Budweiser with Charlize Theron. But the idea of yapping and yapping and yapping is a little bit, I think, of a couple of things. I think there's a little bit of insecurity. I think there's a little bit of wanting to put your stamp on something, especially since we're watching so many clips on YouTube. You want to hear your voice going. And I think there's a certain amount of insecurity. Maybe part of that's coming from the network going, you got to say something. Don't just have this be dead air. And with that, I'm going to praise someone. And Nicole, listen closely. I'm going to praise who I think is the greatest television baseball announcer of all time. You know, when people talk about Vin Scully and saying when he retired, he's the greatest announcer of all time, he's the greatest announcer of all time. Several people asked me, don't you agree he's the greatest announcer of all time? And I responded, there were many times he wasn't even the best announcer in his own booth. Joe Garagiola was the greatest television announcer of all time. Now, if you watch, there's some great games that exist on YouTube, whole games that he's the lead announcer of. And they're worth watching, even if you know how they turn out, because you get to hear Garagiola, who had a great voice for baseball, was a player himself, so he had great memories of playing with Stan Musial and playing mainly with St. Louis, but also with Pittsburgh, also with the New York Giants. He had a wonderful sense of humor that comes through in the game. I remember when he called a game between the Pirates and the Reds in 1979, and Willie Stargell hit a big home run in extra innings on the road. And he said, that ball is out of here, and these fans are leaving the stadium like it's on fire. And for whatever reason, that line just slayed me. He has humor, he has a reverence for the game, a great love for the game, but he also understood that it is a game and therefore fun. He also was secure enough that he deferred to whomever he was announcing with, whether it was Vin Scully, whether it was Tony Kubek, whether it was Tom Seaver, whether it was Don Sutton. And he also knew that sometimes the visual of the game is what should carry the moment. In 1980, Joe Garagiola was the main announcer for the NBC broadcast of the World Series. That was between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Kansas City Royals. That is, to date, the last time the World Series was played between two teams that have never won the World Series. At that time, the Royals had never won a World Series, and the Phillies, who were an original National League franchise and had been around since the beginning of the World Series, had got all the way to 1980 without winning a title. So here we are, a historic World Series, and the Phillies had the lead with two outs in the ninth inning. A great moment in baseball. The final original franchise was on the verge of winning the World Series. And instead of coming up with a catchphrase and saying, oh, get your fill of cheesesteaks. It's ring the Liberty Bell and say hello to the Rocky Balboa. It's fan fantastic Philly fun or something stupid like that. Do you know what he did? He said the following words. The crowd will tell you what happens. Tug McGraw threw the pitch. Willie Wilson struck out. The Phillies won the World Series. When you watch the clip of the television broadcast, he says nothing. You hear the crowd erupt. You see the Phillies come racing on the field, and there's a giant scrum as Tug McGraw and Mike Schmidt and that wonderful Phillies team, which is one of the most beloved Philadelphia teams of any sport in their history. And there it is. He had the confidence in his broadcasting ability to know that he didn't need to yap about it. He did similar things in 82 and in 84. When you see the clips of the Cardinals winning in 82, and you see the clip of the Detroit Tigers defeating San Diego in 84, Gergio is a lead announcer. He let the moment play. And do you know what? In all of those series, the home team won. And in all of those series, there was a moment of absolute euphoria. But nothing will ever match Philadelphia. The Cardinals had won World Series in the 60s, as had the Tigers. So it had been a couple of decade wait for those teams. But for Philadelphia, it was... The city hadn't hosted a World Series champion since the 30s when the Philadelphia A's played there, and the Philadelphia Phillies had never won. Imagine having his talent, having his ability, his respect, and having the confidence to say, the crowd will tell you what happened. That's a great announcer who understood that it is a visual medium as well as an audio medium. And the idea of allowing that event to take place shows why he's the best. The absolute best. So Nicole Karkolas, I wish more people would study Joe Garagiola. Maybe there is a pressure from the networks to say corny things. Maybe the knowledge that it's going to be on YouTube makes announcers feel like they have to be heard. But they don't. And do you know what? It will show your ability of announcer to trust the moment. Just like I'm going to trust the moment right now and tell you that this podcast is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the places to get your shows. You get in your car, tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Yankees. I can't wait to hear Stacey Gatsoulias review yesterday's game. It's going to be fun. This has been Locked On MLB. For the 18th day of October 2019, I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Hey, Nicole, you can always call me Sullivan.